In verse 1 it said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now when I say man, I'm talking to the girls too. Those who are truly blessed are the ones who do not what? Walk with sin, stand near it, or sit with it. He tells us very clearly that those that are, you know, not standing in the path of sinners, they're not sitting in the seat of the scornful, they're not walking with the counsel of the ungodly, those people will be blessed. And there's so much more to it. But those who experience a true blessing are those who do not open their ears to wicked counsel, nor do they stand in the path of known sinners who are presumed to be upon that path, nor do they sit with those who spurn the truth. Now, the problem with this whole psalm is that as I read it and as I was studying, I was like, oh man, I can't find myself in here. Where am I? I walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I stand in the path of these sinners and I sit in this seat often. I can't find myself. But you know what? There's ingredients and there's a guide that God takes us, and I'm going to show you at the end. But first of all, what do we see about a blessed man? What makes a blessed man? What do we see about this man? He's on this path, or she's on this path. They're on this trek to glory. They're walking with the Lord. We always use that term, walking with the Lord. Are you walking with the Lord? Are you sitting with the Lord? Are you standing with the Lord? We use these terms, and as the psalmist used these terms about walking in this path and walking with the Lord, you'll find them in Proverbs also. Talks about keeping your feet firmly upon the path that's set before you. God will direct your path. He will never let your foot stumble. We're always talking about this walk we have with the Lord. A blessed man or a blessed woman, they're walking and they're standing, and at times they're even sitting, but they're always on this path. They're not on other paths. They're not on tributaries. They're not on paths that lead to destruction. And you know what? In the context of what I'm talking about tonight, sitting, standing, sleeping, walking, running, there's no negative. If you're on the path, that's where you're supposed to be. If you say, hey, if you're sitting on the path, you know, well, you should be walking. Baloney. There's a lot of times all I've been able to do is sit on that path. So you can take that and you know what? You can apply that with all your theology, but it's not true. There's times when I've laid down on that path and I couldn't walk, but I was still on the path. And there's somebody that always is walking with me on that path, and it says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he holds my hand on that path. If I'm on that path, we look out these windows, and there's people that they haven't even begun to take a step on this path. Some of them have never even heard of it. Those who are on it, they're walking, they're standing, they're even sitting on this path. And it's obvious that in verse 1 it says those that they don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor do they stand in the path of sinners, nor do they sit in the seat of the scornful. What can I ascertain from this path? It's a path of action. They're always doing something. They're either sitting, or they're standing, or they're walking, or they're running, or they're listening, or they're, you know, they're receiving, or they're giving. This path is a path that's action. Something's always happening on this path with the Lord, walking on this path. Listen to, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. It's not too far. You can go there. Proverbs chapter 4. Just go right to the next book. Go to chapter 4 and listen to verse 10. It says, "Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom." There we have in the way. "I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take a firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life." So clearly the path to glory is, it's probably different for us all. It's different for you, the path or the direction, or the rocks or the pebbles or the trees and the branches that are on your path are going to be different than mine. But nevertheless, the path is different for all, but it's difficult for all. Difficult. Your path will nevertheless be difficult. And clearly it's one of action. There will be times where all you can do is sleep. There will be times where all you can do is sit. There will be times where the Lord will tell you to run. And you'll run. But The point of all that is it said, blessed is the man. That person's blessed. They're blessed, they're not cursed. They're blessed, they're not cursed that are on the path, that are walking with the Lord. That don't listen to the counsel of the wicked. They don't sit in the seat of the scornful. They don't stand in the path of sinners. Those people are the ones that are blessed. But it goes on. Word blessed in some translations is translated as happy, that there's happiness, and that's exactly what it means. Someone who's happy, it gives way to happiness. Someone who's on this path is someone who's happy. In verse 2, how does the blessedness come? This person's blessed. Where did they get the power not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor to stand in the path of sinners, or to sit in the seat of the scornful? If you can do that in your flesh and in your own strength, I'd like to talk with you after and find out your formula, because I need to talk to you, because I haven't figured it out either. The only way I know is to abide in the Lord, and He gives me that strength. I can't walk that path unless He's on it with me. I lose my way on that path unless He's the one saying, go this way, or go that way, or take this step, or stop. I'll lose my way. In verse 2 it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. Now there's some direction. There's a map for your path. In Psalm 119 it says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, they are ever with me. Talking about God's law. Look at the first three words in verse 2. It says, but his delight. And remember I told you that word blessed means happy. Somebody who's delighting in the Word and delights in the Word is going to be happy in the Word of God, and they're going to be blessed on the path. It's the same concept. Someone who's blessed because they're not listening to sinners or standing with sinners or walking with sinners, there's a blessedness that comes with that because God's leading them on the path, right? You can use that same word with those who delight in God's Word. Blessed or happy is the one who loves your law and meditates in it day and night. It's the same concept. So there's a direction for us here. Meditating in the Word of God will not just bring about a blessing in your life, but it makes you a blessing. It'll make you a blessing because it says that this man or this woman is delighting in the law of the Lord. When you're actively walking, standing, or sitting with the Holy Spirit on His path and His Word, and in His Word you're continually meditating, that man or woman will be blessed. There will be a blessing. And remember, I never will say today that you will feel blessed. I'm not going to tell you will feel blessed, but you will be blessed. You will be blessed. If you delight in His Word, you may not feel blessed. I don't feel prosperous. I don't feel bountiful, but nevertheless, you're blessed. Because there's a big difference between those that are inside the kingdom and inside the hedge of protection, those that are outside. You're blessed on the inside, whether you feel it, or you perceive it, or you can touch it. You are because the Word says you are. This man or this woman that's blessed because they're not standing, walking, and sitting with sinners. One of the ingredients for that blessedness and them being happy is that they delight in the law of the Lord, and His law he meditates day and night. That's why he finds his way on the path. That's why he can walk on the path and not lose his way, because he's constantly delighting in the law of the Lord. And what is this man like? Other than blessed. The blessed man, we see where he walks and why he walks there. We see what his delight is, but what's he like? What's his demeanor? What can I liken this man to? And we go to verse 3, and it says, what does he look like? And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. The psalmist says this man's like a tree. You know, if you're tough, put on your football pads, square off with the tree, see who wins. Try to knock that tree down. Knock it down. You can pick one that's just the size of my arm. Go ahead. Try to knock it down. See how tough you are. Try to take out the tree. Because that root system goes deep. You know, when I was young, I would always imagine, you know, what's the tree look like, you know, underground? How far do the roots go? You know, how deep can they go? And I heard somebody talk about it, and they said, you know, if you turn the tree upside down, that's what it looks like. That's what the root system is. It's the same. It's like a mirror image. You look at the land, the roots are the same as how big that tree is. You look how big the tree is, that's what it's like under the ground. So try to knock that out of the ground. It says, he shall be like a tree. And I looked that word up. I wanted to see what he's hinting at, what he's trying to say. And that word tree, it gets its primary root from firmness, something that's planted, something that's firm, stout, put in its place, and it's shut. Can't be moved. It's something that's firm, something that's not shaken. It's something that's not moved. He's like a tree. He's not moved. And I was like, wow, that's powerful. You know, somebody whose tree, you know, some of us are smaller trees than others. I know a lot of people that are oaks, and their girth is about the size of my house. They're big trees. They're planted deep in what they believe. They know what they believe. And I've known a lot of little saplings that somehow, sometimes the strong winds come and they begin to blow, but nevertheless, they're still strong. They're still strong because why? Who nourishes that tree? Who keeps that plant alive? Let's keep reading. He brings forth, it's planted by the rivers of water. And I was reading that and I felt like, you know what? I know exactly where that river originates. I know right where those streams come from. They usher right from the throne of God. Every supply, everything I have need of, I know exactly where it comes from. It doesn't come from my job. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from anybody handing me a check or anything like that. I know exactly where my supply comes from. I know who makes this tree live. I know who keeps it green. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done. It's by grace that we're saved. I know who ushers this grace into my life. I know why this tree is strong. This tree has an endless supply. It says that it's planted by the rivers of water. And that word means, you know, it's got channels of water. There's like little streams that just continually to flow into this tree. It says it'll bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And this whole psalm is likening these metaphors and these similes to somebody, to a person, to a blessed man or woman, one who's walking with God. We can either find ourselves in here, or we can look real hard and not find yourself in here, like I did. And you keep reading, and it's somebody that has been grown up and that only prospers by the Lord. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. And I was reading, I was like, who planted this tree? You know, I know who feeds this tree, but who planted this tree? Who dug the hole and stuck this tree? And you know what? I think the answer is in the verse before it. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. It was the word of God. It was the word of God. The word that he exalts above his name, the word was with God, and the word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. The word that planted this tree. It's the word that keeps you on the path. It's the word that guides you. It's the word that speaks to you. That's why this person is able to delight. That's why they're blessed, you know? And I started having it well up inside me. God, I want to delight in your word again. I want to read it and just get happy. I want to read your word and just let it minister to me. And it starts to consume me, you know. The psalmist says it's like honey. You know, we sing the song, it's like honey to my lips. It's like water to my soul. You know, that's what I want it to be. I want the word of God to be like a sweet balm that covers all my hurts and wounds. Every answer I've ever needed, I read it and there's my answer. Every inroad, every map I have need, every direction, every counsel, all my wisdom comes from this book. You know what? I get so upset lately. It's like there's this curse on our generation that people just, they despise the truth. They don't want the truth. And it's worse in Christian realms than it is in the world. A worldly person already knows they're lost. They know that their life is miserable. They know it's going down like a toilet bowl. So you come and you tell them, you know, here's the truth. And their ear will prick up and like, well, I haven't heard this before. And I'm going to give ear to this. This might be something I haven't heard. There might be something here that can set me free. Somebody who's in the world will they'll want to hear. They'll hear you out. But it's so sickening in Christian circles. And this, I talk to my wife about this all the time. She probably just needs some earplugs. I'm always talking to her about it. But you know, there's this famine of truth. And it's given over, you know, the emerging church and all that garbage, but it's given over to feelings and emotions. And people discern truth by how you feel. People want truth based on what feels good. I was talking to somebody last night, and I was talking about marriage and marriage and how it works. And I remember my brother's bachelor party, and we went around in a circle, and we all talked about, gave him advice. And one man said something that I have disagreed with my whole life, and I just kept my mouth shut because I have so much self-control. So I kept my mouth shut. He said, marriage is 50-50. And that is the biggest lie from the pit of hell. Marriage is 100-0. It's 100 and 100 makes 100. That's marriage. You that aren't married, take it with you. It's a nugget. 100 plus 100 equals 100. That's marriage. It's not 50-50. It doesn't work that way. Because there'll be a lot of times where you're in bed with a zero. And you have to be 100%. That's how marriage works. And he said that, and you can talk about that later. He said that, and I was like, that is just not true. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural at all. You know? And on this path, you know, Christians they forsake truth. They forsake it. They leave it. It's like it says in Isaiah. It says they have thrown truth in the streets. They've thrown it in the gutter. They cast truth in the streets for what they feel and what feels good. Well, what we have here in this psalm is truth. It's truth. It's telling you the path. It's giving you a guide. It's giving you answers. And I'm so sick to death. Now, I'm not saying I'm spiritual, I'm perfect, or I have anything figured out. Nobody has more problems than me. But I am sick to death when I tell somebody the truth and they don't want to hear it. It doesn't matter what's wrong with me, how ugly I am, what I look like, how I talk, whether you like me or not. But when I give you the truth of God's Word and you claim to be a Christian, you better give ear to it. Whether you think I'm right or not. Whether you think, oh, this guy's life's so messed up, I don't have to listen to him. Baloney. If I quote the Word of God to you, you better have an ear to hear it. And that is the plague on our culture right now. I've talked to so many people, especially with marriage. Well, he just doesn't want to work with me. He just doesn't care about what I want or my feelings. You know, we tried to work it out, but I just can't do what he wants to do or she wants to do. Well, you know what? The truth of the matter is, it's 100 and 100 equals 100. Your truth of how you feel or what you think you deserve or your victimology, or you think you're entitlement, you're enabled to something. That's our whole culture right now. I'm enabled, I have entitlement, I deserve, I'm a victim. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I don't have to listen to truth, this is how I feel, so I've deserved something. Tell that to the Lord when he's on the cross. You deserve it? Did he earn that? You know, but that's the mentality of the age. And I'm so tired of when I come to people and I say, you know what, here is a, you know, for lack of a better word, here's a formula for you. There's a formula. It's called the Word of God. It is a formula. You follow this to the T. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. You want a formula? There it is. And you'll be happy. People don't want to hear it. It's hard. You know, it doesn't feel good. But this tree is strong. It's blessed. A tree with an endless supply. I already told you that river and that water comes right from the throne of God. I know where that river originates. This tree, it's not just planted for the good of itself, but in the very next part of verse 3, it says it brings forth its fruit in its season. So it's not just planted to be pretty. It's not just planted to give forth, you know, pretty flowers and to smell good. It's there for people. It says it brings forth fruit And fruit is for eating. It's there to supply. Not only does it have an endless supply, as long as that supply is flowing into it, the tree is going to have a supply. The tree is going to have an endless supply, and you're going to be there when people have need of you. You're not just blessed, but you're going to be a blessing. I guarantee you. You know, I know, I tell myself that when I stand before the throne, there's going to be so many movies that play back of times where somebody has been spoken to or that I've spoken to their life and I didn't even know it. How many times are you going to be a blessing and you don't know it? Even though all you know is the truth says you're blessed, but you don't feel blessed. But I guarantee you, if you follow what the Word says, you will be a blessing to people. You'll be a blessing. It's the only reason it would have fruit. It's not going to eat itself. Okay? This tree that's planted by the waters will not dry out. It says that whose leaf shall not wither in verse 3. Its leaf will not wither. As long as that supply, and it's an endless supply, it doesn't stop. God doesn't turn the faucet off when you're bad. You're bad. You get no more water. Hope you can make it. If that was the case, firewood, long time ago, right here. Long time ago. There's an understanding. This tree is made alive and sustained from the flow of the throne. This tree is prosperous, speaking keenly of the fruit that it bears, that feeds others. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. You know? Blessed is a man who loves the Lord's law. He's like a tree that supplies for others. He won't dry up or lack, and whatever he puts his hand to will prosper. But you got to keep in mind, there's some terms in here. When it says prosper, I guarantee you it's not prosper in your timing. It's prosper in the Lord's timing. Whatever he does will prosper in the Lord's timing. Like I said, you're not going to feel blessed. This psalm is a promise to you. It's a promise to you. I promise you. It says you'll prosper. It says you'll bring forth fruit. But it says you'll bring forth fruit in season. There's timing to all this, and it's the Lord's timing, it's not yours. This is talking of a man or woman figuratively, but we have to remember it's talking about you and me. It's a description of you and me, or not. It should be. The Word of God will flourish, and it'll bring forth these things. Two things you need to realize is that, you know, it says that your delight is in the law of the Lord, you know, and that's like the happiness, but it says in season. You know, there's a lot of times I thought I was in season, but I wasn't. I was out of season. I wasn't time for me to bring forth fruit in that specific, you know, context. It wasn't time for me to do this thing or do that thing. It's not time for me to have a worldwide huge ministry and you see my face all over TV. You think that's the season for me right now? Think that's my season? No. I'd be like Mr. T trying to preach to people, you know. It doesn't work that way. There's a season. There's a timing, you know. And the Lord has that timing. But that man that's on that path, he's happy. He's blessed. He's delighted in God's law. He's not looking for that time or that purpose with an anxious worry. He's just delighting in what the Lord has. And when it's the season, he'll be ready. Blessed is the man or woman who has a delight in that word. Without the supply, strength, and fruit, those things would never be present. You wouldn't be able to be on the path, and vice versa. Amazing that the word it means happy, because I'm unhappy a lot. It means blessed is the man, blessed is the woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, that person should be happy. Every day you wake up, you should wake up happy. I don't have to sit with them. I don't have to stand with them. I don't have to talk with them anymore. I don't have to. If you're ungodly, in verse 4, they're not so. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. For the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The righteous are like a tree. The righteous and the godly are likened to a tree. God likens the ungodly and the sinner to sawdust. Sawdust. It blows away. It's not looked for. There's not concern. Do you walk out on your front porch and the wind whips up and the dust gets blown off your porch and you're like, where are you going, dust? Not even a thought in your mind, right? You don't think about the dust. Doesn't matter. That's what he likens the ungodly to. They're like dust. It just blows away. Nobody remembers them. You don't think about them. It's done away with. They will live eternally in torment, and you will live eternally always in God's eye. Constantly remembered and in his presence. There's a difference. You'll be like a tree. They'll be like chaff which blows away. That which is blown away will not remain, but the blessed ones will. The ones who are happy and delight in his law will. Now, here's where I turn it on you. Now maybe you're like me. And you're searching yourself as you read the psalm. And you're going, wow, I come up short. Perhaps you don't feel blessed or the path, or like you're in the path of sinners. Do you feel that you don't exactly delight in God's law? There's times where you don't delight to read the Word. There's times I don't feel like a tree. Maybe you read this, you don't feel like a tree. Maybe there's no streams that you feel are pouring into you and you think maybe you're dry and not bearing any fruit. Maybe there's no prosperity and all you feel is lack. If this psalm is true, we all agree this psalm is true, I believe the opposite is also true. Flip this whole psalm around. And this is how I read it the first time I read it before I prepared this. This is how I read it and how I felt like God gave it to me. Because I was going through a hard time and I was reading this and I was almost in tears just going, God, this isn't me. This isn't my life. This is not how I feel. It's not what I'm going through. I feel like the Lord just put a finger on me and said, that's your fault. Not my fault. You're the one that lets this into your life. You're the one that chooses to stand with the sinners. You're the one that listens to the counsel of the ungodly. I didn't ask you to walk on that path. I didn't destine you for that path. That's not the path you're supposed to be on. I never told you to go there. You did. I told you you're a tree. I never said you're the dust. And I started reading. I was like, God, I don't delight in your word. Well, maybe you should start reading it. And then maybe you'll delight in my word. I had a brother back at school, and he used to always say, you want to know how you hunger for God's word? He used to tell people, you force feed yourself. You constantly force feed yourself. And I got this stern rebuke from the Lord because this is how I read the psalm the first time. Listen closely. Cursed is the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly and standeth with lots of friends that are sinners and sits in the seat of the scornful. He's indignant and he's selfish. His delight is in thinking about what's best for himself. What will make himself happy. And in this he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted in a dry, wasted desert that brings forth no fruit in season or out of season. His leaf withers and he's dry for lack of water, and whatever he does seems to wane and lessen. That's how I read the psalm the first time. I looked at it. The man that is constantly fixed upon himself, what I want, what I desire, I would rather watch the tube than read the word. And my delight is in thinking about the things I want. I stand in the counsel of the ungodly and I stand with people that are sinners and I listen to their indignance. That person will end up like a tree planted by a dry, wasted desert. That brings forth no fruit in season or out of season. And that's the way I read it the first time. And that's the way that God rebuked me. He said, do you feel like you're in a desert? Maybe it's because the opposite of this is also true. Who's happy and blessed, who forsakes the sinners and delights in my word, Those that love those sinners and don't read my word, the opposite will also be true. You'll wind up in a desert. But you know what? The desert for those outside here, our church and in the world, that's a permanent desert. If you're in the Lord, that desert is as temporary or as long as you make it. You know what? I've told you guys 100 million times about how my mind was so screwed up when I first got saved and how I didn't understand salvation. I understand how you could be covered by the blood. I didn't understand how God could cover all my sins. I didn't get it. I didn't understand how He could just forgive years and years of just spitting in His face and vile sin that I would never tell anyone, you know? How can God just wash over that with blood? How can He do that for me? But that nonetheless is true. It's true, it's true, it's true. That's freedom. And it's the same truth for this. If you find yourself in a desert place and your leaves might be withering, I started thinking about this and I said, you know, the beauty of this story is that both are paths. The cursed path where you're dry and dusty, and there's no water, and the blessed path. They're both paths. There's only one path that you're called to be on. There's one path that the Lord's at. But you find yourself on the wrong one like I did, and you look to the right one. If you'll just raise your eyes just a little bit, you'll see a hand that was reaching down you from the right path, waiting for you to take the hand the whole time. Get out of the dust. Get out of the path that's dry and that's dirty, and there's no delight, and you're not bearing fruit. Just take my hand, and I'll put you back on this path, and we can start walking again. That's the beauty of it. It was a rebuke for me, but it was also an encouragement. He doesn't say, start over. You know, like Mario Brothers. You're running through there. You're trying to get all the mushrooms. You get nailed, and you have to start over at the beginning. It's not like that. A video game, you don't start all the way over again. I've died like 50 times just trying to beat this level. You don't have to start over. You don't go to square one. Bless His name. He takes you right back and puts you right where your feet belong. And He says, if you walk with sinners, if you're sitting in the seat of the scornful, if you're dry, if your leaf is withered, if you're not delighting, just stop and get up and take the hand. He waits for you. He will help you traverse the path to get back on the path that leads to the throne. That's as simple as He spoke it to me. You find yourself on this path, just take my hand, you can get back on this path, and you'll find what I did when on the wrong path. He just reached out His hand. As always, He's reaching out to you. And if you'll take the Lord's hand, you'll find He will lead you in right paths. He will lead you in right paths. You know, I'm sure some of you find yourself in the same place I was. You know, I read the psalm all backwards, upside down. You know, I felt like, wow, I don't delight. I hang out with the sinners. I don't find this vibrance in me or this water in me. I don't have the fruit that I think I should have. And he just said the same thing. He said, get up. Get up. Just get up. You know, you have so many in stories of the Old Testament where they're sitting and sulking, and you find Elijah sitting by the brook, or anyone, you know, on their face, and God comes to them and says, get up. Just get up. I have somewhere for you to go. Just hearken an ear to the Lord, and He'll be telling you the exact same thing He told me. Just get up. Blessed is the man or woman. Blessed are those that delight in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those that walk not in the counsel of everything you hear on TV and on the news and in school and your friends. You don't stand in the path of the sinners. That's the other path. That's the path where they walk. You don't stand in that path or sit in the seat of those that are scornful. And what, you know what? I was reading this. I was like, well, what are they scorning? You know what they are scornful about? The truth. That's why they're scornful. They don't like the truth. It's not that they're scornful at God himself, because we just love this fuzzy Cupid heart God that's all love and mushy goo in heaven. We love him, but people don't like the truth. The truth is what hurts. The truth is what cuts. Everybody believes in God, right? But nobody wants to believe in the truth. And it's a sickness. But praise God, you are on that path. You're on that path whether you feel like you are or not, whether you feel you're blessed or not, whether you feel you're prospering or not, whether you can see people picking the fruit off your branches, you're still on that path.
Amen.
And you're not going to see how many people pick it from behind you. Blessed are those people that delight in God's law, and their feet are on that path, and he guides them. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Lord, I just thank you for your word, Father. I thank you that your word is direction, is counsel, it's a path. Your word is a path in itself that we read. It leads, guides, and directs us, Lord. And God, you're faithful. You're so faithful. It's grace by which I stand. The thing that doesn't pass away day after day is your grace. It says your mercy is new every morning. It's your grace. Your grace comes. Your grace is what lifts us up on the path of the sinners and the seed of the scornful. And God, you put us on right paths. You guide us in right paths. You direct our steps. And it says you would bear us up with our foot. We dash our foot against a stone, Father. You keep us in right paths and just commit our way unto you. We commit our path to you. Not just as an individual, as one man or woman that walks with God, but even as a church. God, keep this church on right paths, walking with you in the direction you have planned. Lord, let us give you an ear, an open ear, to where you speak and where you guide, and that when the cloud moves, we would follow. God, we would never end up on the other path, but we would believe your truth, and we would be those that love the truth and that survive off your truth. God, I just thank you. I pray you bless us all as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.